What's happening, everybody? This is your boy Charles Wells, aka C Wells, aka your swag tour guide, coming at you with another edition of Swag Talk. And today we're gonna start previewing these week one games. Now, these are just gonna be little snippets. I'm not gonna go super duper in depth in these because there's a gang of games this week, and I'm actually gonna break this up into two parts. But I'm gonna kind of just touch on a couple little tidbits that I want to share, and then give a score prediction. And we'll start to get a little bit more in depth with these as we get into conference play. So today, this is mainly I'm going to try to focus on the Thursday and Saturday games and save those two Sunday games for themselves. So I definitely want to put a little bit more into the Orange Blossom Classic and about the Grambling Tennessee State game that nobody is talking about. So we're going to do it like that. Before we get started, as usual, you can check out the socials down below. Go ahead and like those, follow those, whatever the case may be. Check out the podcast, anchor.fm/swagtalk, found on Spotify, Stitcher, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. And you can check out the show Swag Smoke, which is always on Thursdays. But to make sure you check that out. We'll do, like I said, we'll have the first part of the previews today, and then I'll probably drop the second part either on Thursday or Friday. I'm not sure yet, but I'll drop it then. And then Sunday, we'll recap the Thursday and Saturday games, and then Monday, we'll recap the last two Sunday games. And then we'll be back on a more traditional Wednesday and Sunday schedule. You know, that's just a gang of games in the first couple of weeks, especially that first week. So just want to break things up a little bit. If you haven't done so already, I want you to go ahead and subscribe to the page. The page is growing really, really well. I'm really enjoying doing this for everybody, and I'm enjoying the support that you guys are showing. And hit that Cash App if you'd like to support the show. That's $SwagTalk. You can do that if you'd like to show the show a little love. Otherwise, I just appreciate you guys being here. Let me know in the comments who you think is going to win these week's games. We already talked about the MEAC Swag Challenge last week. We ain't going to dwell on that no more. That game was a total surprise, but we're not really going to dwell on that anymore. We're going to focus on week one. A lot of games. There are a couple conference games that we'll talk about. Mainly most games are non-conference. Two FCS, FBS games, so we're not going to spend a hell of a lot of time on those, but we're going to talk about what I think is going to happen in these games. So let's go ahead and get started, man. We're going to get the schedule up on the screen so you guys can see it, just in case you don't know it. Week one actually gets started on Thursday when we have Mississippi Valley heading to Murray, Kentucky to take on Murray State. That's a 7 o'clock broadcast on ESPN Plus. Murray State is a team that's, they're loaded. They're returning 22 starters, so everybody who played in the spring and started is back. They actually won the OVC. They went undefeated in conference play. So this team is very good. They have 8 guys making a preseason all-OVC team, headlined by Malik Honeycutt. He's a 5'10", 177 all-purpose type of guy. He's a top punt returner, and he's a guy that's definitely going to make some plays. Preston Rice, quarterback, he's 6'2", 227. He leads the offense in this group. He's one of the top two quarterbacks in conference. And he returns two of his top receivers, Jacob Bell and LaMartez Brooks. They're both over 6 foot. Bell, 6'3", 177. Brooks, 6'1", 192. They're both guys who are going to make some things happen. They're both preseason all-conference guys. The offensive line is solid. Led by Levi Nestler. Defensively, they had the best defense in the conference in the spring, and they're led by Ethan Edmondson, defensive end, 6'3", 246. Also, Scotty Humphridge and Eric Samata. Those are a couple names to also know, as well as Marcus Floyd at cornerback. They this team, like I said, they're explosive. They're a team that definitely – really put some points on the board, and they made a lot of plays. They came up very, very strongly throughout the spring. And this is going to be a challenge for Valley. You know, Valley is a team that a lot of people are really high on. I'm not quite there yet. I think they have some pieces, but I just right now I'm not really in love with what they have. I do think they can be dangerous, and they're a team that you're gonna have to, you know, prepare for. You have to bring your lunch pail when you play Valley, because they're gonna show up and they're gonna hit you. But they don't right now have the numbers to really keep up. And playing a team like this is gonna be a tough affair. I don't think Valley's gonna really be able to compete down in and down out. I think they'll hang in there, and I think they'll lose. I'm gonna say 35-14. I think Valley will make a good showing, but right now I think they just don't have enough pieces to win a game like this on the road. But I think they definitely will compete, and you know, you would not be upset at the effort that they put out, because Valley's always gonna show a tough effort every time they step on the field. Looking at the Saturday games, our first Saturday game is Alabama State hosting Miles College. That's a 5 o'clock kickoff in Montgomery. Miles College is a team that was picked to win the West Division of the SIAC. So they're a team who is very good. They went 9-3 in the fall of 2019, 5-1 in conference. They averaged 28.1 points per game on offense, allowing 21.1 on defense. They ran the ball for 189 yards per game. They allowed 104 yards rushing, so they're a team who definitely did a good job of stopping the run. Passing, they averaged 153 yards per game. They didn't really throw the ball that much. 142 of 282, 15 touchdowns, but they did have 12 interceptions. Defensively, they picked off the ball 16 times. They did allow 21 touchdowns, 178 yards per game passing. Total offense, 342 for Miles and 283 for the opponents. So they are a very good defensive team. Third down percentage is something that I love to look at. They were 35% on third downs as an offense, 28% as a defense. Again, those are good numbers. Those are opportunities that you have to make plays and get off the field. As your defense get off the field, your offense can stay on the field, extend drives, give you better chances at winning. They had 41 sacks as a defense, and they allowed 21. They had a problem fumbling the ball. They fumbled 31 times, but they only lost 14. Opponents fumbled 22 times and lost 9. So they did have some turnover issues, but this is a team who will be, you know, they will be dangerous for, a Division II opponent. I think Alabama State should be okay in this game. I think Alabama State's a physical enough team. They're going to definitely test Miles. Ezra Gray is going to be a key to this team, making plays, running the ball, his return skills, catching the ball at the backfield. Anything that they can do as an offense to kind of settle in and make plays early, you know, Ryan Nettles is still a young quarterback. He still doesn't have that much starting experience. So he still needs to develop and grow. But I think that this is a game that they'll win fairly comfortably. I think it'll be games like this, I really expect to be close early. If it's close late, then that's a problem as far as Alabama State with putting teams away. And that goes for anybody, not just Alabama State. But games like this, if you don't put teams away and let them hang around, then you will have problems, especially if you turn the ball over. I think Alabama State's defense is stout enough to really slow Miles down and give them some issues. But I like Alabama State. I think they're gonna, put on a good effort in this game. I think they'll win this game. I'm gonna say 31-10. I think their defense is gonna be pretty solid. I think offensively they'll get the big plays. I'm looking for their passing game to get going, especially with the loss of Michael Jefferson. They definitely are going to have to kind of find, some guys to really step into that void. So I really look forward to seeing what Alabama State does. Their team, who I think is going to surprise some people. They may not be as flashy as some people think, and I do think they kind of are playing for their coach's life right now. So this is a very important game for them. Moving forward, looking at our next game, will be South Carolina State heading to Huntsville to take on Alabama State. Alabama A&M. That's a 6 o'clock kickoff. And that's the second of three SWAC games taking place in the state of Alabama pretty much at the same time. So there's a lot of SWAC action in Alabama. If you can catch one of those games, if you're in the area, I would suggest that you do so. This game is a rematch of the spring. Alabama A&M won 31-7. Probably could have been worse. Kyle Glass threw, I think, three interceptions in that game, and they still won 31-7. South Carolina State finished the season 3-1 in the spring. And that was their only loss. And they kind of got better as the season went on. Defensively, they have some really good guys in their secondary. And that presents some problems. But offensively is where my issue with South Carolina State will probably always be. They're just one of those teams that's not really a great offensive team. If you let them do what they want to do, which is run the football, then you will have problems because they love to run and they're going to stop the run. When the ball gets in the air on either side of the field, then that's where the problems come. They threw the ball for 225 yards per game. This is the 2019 numbers. I don't have their spring numbers. But they are led by their quarterback, Corey Fields. They're going to go with him. And like I said, they didn't really score a ton of points in the spring. The only game they scored more than 17 points was against Delaware State. They played them twice. First time they beat them 17-9. Second time they beat them 31-28. So the other three games, they had 7 points, 17, and 14. The Alabama State game was definitely a game that they controlled with their defense. They really did a good job of shutting down Alabama State, especially their running game. And they really kind of flustered them a lot. I expect Alabama A&M to take care of business. Like I said, we know what they have on offense. We know their receiving core is tremendous. We know Glass is easily the top quarterback in the conference, if not one of the top four or five quarterbacks in the country. They have some nice pieces they added in the portal on offense. They've tried to solidify their defense through the portal. And they're gonna put the ball in the air. They're gonna score points. It's up to you to be able to stop them and slow them down. I don't think South Carolina State's offense can hang, which I think is gonna be a problem. Now they're facing a team who knows their opponent, because when they played South Carolina State in the spring, that game was basically agreed upon the week of the game. So this is a team that has a full fall camp and a full focus on South Carolina State. I think this game may be even worse, but I think South Carolina State can keep this close if they can run the ball and control the clock a little bit. But I'm like an Alabama A&M. I'm gonna go 42-20. I think this is gonna be a high scoring game. I think the Bulldogs at home, I think they'll take care of business. Moving on to our first FCS game of the season. Southern heads to Troy, Alabama to take on the Troy Trojans. Troy was a team who was kind of up and down throughout the fall of 2020. They didn't run the ball very well. They ran the ball for about 103 yards per game, but they did throw the ball fairly well. They have two quarterbacks who are coming in. Gunnar Watson, he completed over 70% of his passes as the starter. Taylor Powell is a transfer from Missouri. He's actually going to be the starter this year. So to have one of your starting quarterbacks come back and not start over a guy who didn't play much at Missouri is kind of an issue to me. Their receiving core is gonna have to get better. They don't have their top two receivers, but defensively, I think this team is where they're gonna make their bones. I think Troy obviously has the depth numbers. They have the size, and I think being at home, it's playing. Southern has a new coaching staff, or at least a new head coach, and typically this is the kind of game historically Southern doesn't really come out and play very well in. But right now, I'm expecting Southern to play better. What I'm expecting from this game is very limited turnovers. a lot of productive drives and just playing solid football and competitive football. Now, I know that's a cop-out. I know that sounds like, you know, hey, you know, you just want to kind of hang in there and look good. Obviously, I feel like anytime you step on the field, you should be playing to win. And I think Soto's going to come with that mentality. But I think right now, early in the season, you know, I think Southern has the ability to at least be in this game. I think Southern, if Southern doesn't remain in this game, is going to be what they do to themselves. I think I think the spread is like 26.5. So I'm going to go I'm going to say 45-28. I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I think Southern get a couple touchdowns early, couple late. They may shoot themselves in the foot a couple of times, and Troy, you know, will make some plays. But I think Southern will represent themselves well in this ball game and get ready for the rest of the season. Moving on to our next game is Lane at UAPB. Lane is a team that went 4-8 in 2019. They're projected to finish fifth in their conference. Again, this is a team that, you know, they didn't really play very well, although they did have a hell of a game against UAPB in the fall. That was UAPB's homecoming in 2019. It came basically down to a 98-yard touchdown run by Taylor Porter to win 45-38. UAPB, I think, obviously this team is much better than that 2019 team, although that team was a team that finished 6-5, which made them kind of like the surprise team of the fall 2019 season. I think they'll be able to take care of business in this game because I really like this team a lot. They've been kind of disrespected by a lot of people with the predictions and looking at what where people are ranking them, picked to finish, you know, fifth in the division. But I think this is a game that I think they'll be able to come out and flex their muscles early. It's very important for Pine Bluff to get their running game going. That's something that they're really going to have to do because the passing game is going to take care of itself, returning three of your top four receivers and a quarterback like Skylar Perry. Defensively, Isaac Peppers, Kobe Watts, Jalen Thigpen, those guys are gonna do work all night. And I think this game would not be like that Lane game, they got a early lead and let Lane back into it. I don't think that's going to happen in this game. I think Pine Bluff will take care of business and knock Lane out the box fairly early. I'm going to say Pine Bluff going to put up a 50 spot in this game. I'm going to say 56-17. I really think Pine Bluff's offense has the ability to be explosive, especially if their running game can click. That's going to be a key factor. Anything to help that passing game out, I think, will be a good thing for them. Moving on to our next game, which is the Labor Day Classic. Prairie View is heading to Houston, Texas, to take on Texas Southern. That's a 7 o'clock kickoff. That game is on ESPN3. Also, I forgot to mention the Southern game is on ESPN3. UAPB game will be broadcasted on the UAPB Sports Network. So, you know, those are games that you can catch. Check those out. I'm really looking forward to this game. To me, this is probably, other than probably the South Carolina State at Alabama A&M game, to me, this is the game on Saturday that I'm most interested in that's not a Southern game. Because obviously, as a Southern fan, I'm interested in the Southern game, but other non-Southern games, this is probably the game that I'm really looking forward to. Prairie View comes in, and like I said, you can check out our team previews that I've done for all 12 teams. Prairie View comes in, tremendous defense, offense, a work in progress, so we don't know where they're at right now. Texas Southern, led by Jaylen Brown at quarterback, with two really good running backs and some really, you know, talented receivers. I think they're going to be able to give Prairie View's defense some problems. Texas Southern defense is getting better. They have Michael Batterjo and Julian Marcantel. Those are two guys in their front seven that are going to make some plays. And I think if they can slow down Prairie View enough, I think they have a good chance. I said that I would run with Prairie View, But I'm feeling feisty, man. I'm gonna pick Texas Southern in the upset because I really think this team is gonna win a couple swag games this year. And what better game to win than your first game? If Prairie View wasn't so to me, if they didn't have as many questions at offense right now, I would roll with them as typically normal. But I'm going with Texas Southern. I think it'll be a low scoring affair. I'm gonna say mid 20s. I think they're going to win. I'm going to say 24-21. I think this is going to be a good game. They're going to seal the deal. Last year, they did not seal the deal. I think this year they will at home, and they're finally going to get that monkey off their back and get that on the field win for the first time since 2018. So I'm really that's my upset of the week. I know it's not a really big, big upset matchup, but I think that's a game that I'm really hoping and expecting Texas Southern to play some good football and put everybody on notice that there won't be a pushover. And I think they'll take care of business against Prairie View. Our final Saturday game is another FCS FBS matchup, and that's UTEP and Bethune-Cookman. UTEP actually played on Saturday. They defeated New Mexico State 30-3, and that's a rare win for UTEP. That's a team that doesn't win very often. They played a pretty good game. They ran the ball for 203 yards and 2 touchdowns. They allowed 101 yards rushing. They threw for 249, 1 touchdown. They did have 2 interceptions. They only allowed 89 yards passing. I mean, New Mexico State's not a really good team at all. But for a team like UTEP to be able to play well against this team, who incidentally beat them 3 times in a row, so they actually snapped the losing streak to New Mexico State, and they did it fairly convincingly. Total yards, 452 for UTEP, 190 for New Mexico State. UTEP, 7.3 yards per play, 4.8 yards per rush. They converted. They were only 3-12 on third down, so that's something that can be an issue on the season. New Mexico State 3-15, so nobody converted third downs at all in that game. UTEP was 2-3 on fourth down. New Mexico State 2-6. A couple of names to look for as far as individual guys. They were led in passing by Gavin Hardison. He was 11-16, 249, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. He had a 72-yard pass. No quarterbacks were sacked for UTEP. They played 2 quarterbacks. UTEP had 3 sacks on the night. They were led in rushing by Ronald A. Watt. He had 11 carries for 74 yards and a touchdown. He had a long of 34, 6.7 yards per carry. Cordrez Wadley, 6 carries, 51 yards, 8.5 yards per carry. The leading receiver, Jacob Cowing, 5 catches, 158 yards, 1 touchdown, long of 72. Justin Garrett, 4 catches for 74 yards. And then nobody else caught a pass, really. They only had 2 other guys catch passes. They completed 11 passes on the night for 249 yards and a touchdown. So this is a team, UTEP's a team that's historically been bad, and I think they're probably still not going to be that good. I think New Mexico State's really bad this year, but they took care of business against them. This Bethune-Cookman is a team that historically has played well against these type of FBS opponents, but with their quarterback issues right now, as far as nailing down a guy, I'm not really 100% on picking them in this game. Years past, I would pick Bethune-Cookman to win this game because these are the type of games that they play competitive in and win, and I still think with their style of play that they'll be able to stay in this game. But I think UTEP is gonna find a way to win. I think they're gonna eke it out. I'm gonna say 27-20. I think Bethune-Cookman, they play a style of ball that travels well if you can play well. They run the ball, they stop the run, they're physical. I think they have enough playmakers on offense to score against UTEP. I just don't think UTEP's very good, but I don't think that right now I'm not really gonna pick them to beat Bethune-Cookman. I'm not gonna pick Bethune-Cookman to win, but I think they're gonna play very well and keep themselves in it with an opportunity to win. But that's gonna do it for our week 1 Saturday and Thursday games. like I said, it's a gang of games on the schedule. As we get later into the year, these previews will become a little bit more in depth. As we get swag play, we'll get a little bit more in depth in these. Right now, it's just kind of, you know, going over these games with so many games in the early portion of the season. Week two is kind of similar. We'll start to kind of get in the conference play in week three a little bit deeper. There's pretty much no conference games in week two, I believe. So that's pretty much all non-conference games. The two big games of the weekend, as far as I'm concerned, are on Sunday. So we'll talk about those a little bit more in depth. And that's going to do it for today's show. Like I said, we'll be back. I think I'm going to probably do drop part two on Thursday. So we'll just have Wednesday and Thursday and then flow on into the game. So if you guys have an opportunity to go to a game, I hope you can get out and check out a game. If not, like I said before, the game's televised this weekend on Southern and Troy on ESPN3, 6 o'clock kickoff. UAPB Lane, 6 o'clock kickoff. UAPB Sports Network, Prairie View and Texas Southern, 7 o'clock kickoff, ESPN3. Bethune-Cookman, UTEP, 8 o'clock kickoff, ESPN3. All games pretty much start after 5 o'clock, so you have a full evening of SWAC football. And then just so you know, even though I'm going to repeat it on the next part, Jackson State FAMU Orange Blossom Classic, ESPN2, I think that's I want to say it's a 2 o'clock game, Eastern, I had to double check that, Grambling, Tennessee State, 3 o'clock kickoff, NFL Network. So both those games are televised, so check them out if you can't get to one of them. And like I said, I still expect a good season of SWAC football. That Me Expect Challenge was just, you know, it was what it was. We're not going to talk about that too much, but that's going to do it for today's show. So you guys, make sure to subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so already. And we'll be back with our part two as we preview the two big games of the weekend. So we'll see you guys on the flip side later.